Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Mem Dalid. We are holding out daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the page at the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to discuss if some of the Yarshim or an Isha are Mashbiach the estate. They somehow make an improvement to the Nechasim. Do they have to split that Shevach with the other Yarshim, or do they get to keep that Shevach for themselves? And it's going to depend on exactly what they say in advance of the Shevach that they provide to the state. The Gemara is then going to explain the chiddush of each line in the Mishnah about an Isha who is Mashbiach the Nechasim, and then the Gemara is going to discuss when a man marries his son off in a house, there is a halacha that the son gets the house, that it's assumed that the house that he's married off in becomes his house. So the Gemara is going to discuss what are the details of that halacha. When do we make that assumption? When do we not make that assumption? And once we have that halacha, at the very end of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to tell us that there are three different hilchos abalotaimas. There are three different dinim drabanan that seem to make no sense. It seems to go against all of the normal laws of kinyanim and matanos and what normally would be required. It just is. And this is one of those hilchos abalotaimas. The Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis is going to discuss which of the expenses or the benefits should be divided by all of the brothers that yarsh in the estate, and which one are only received or expensed but to the individual who's going through that particular experience. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Beis is going to discuss which Yorish receives the Shushvinus that was owed to the father. The way it used to work is that when someone would get married, his friends would come and party with him for a week. They would spend a whole week with him, and then at the end of that week they would give him gifts. But the understanding was that it wasn't just a gift, it was more like a loan, that when the friends in turn would get married, you would have to pay them back. You would have to do the same thing for them and give them the same type of shushvinus. So let's say the father was owed a shushvinus from somebody. Which of the sons, when he gets married, is going to receive that shushvinus? So that's going to be the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Beis. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Hiniach banim gedolim uketanim. If a person dies and he leaves over older and younger sons to deal with the Yerusha, it's lav dafka gedolim uketanim. It could be gedolim ugedolim. The Mishnah writes this lashon because it's the derech that the gedolim would be the ones that are involved in investing in the estate and in doing things, because ketanim generally don't know how to do business. That's what Tosos writes in the name of the Rivam on gedolim uketanim. Then Tosos says that it's not like a shutaf who's yorid the stechavero and who gets paid like an aris, that he gets the chelik of the peros, that the minig is that an aris would get in that place, because when by shutvim none are mochel to the other, but by achim you often have a notion of mechila, where one of them might be mochel to the other one. And the Ritva explains the reason it says gedolim uketanim is because of what the Mishnah goes on to say, that if you see that if the son says ru'u mashi niachaba, that we're going to be osav yochel hishpichu liatzman, the Mishnah is going to say that if one who's about to do the work to be mashpiach the nechasim says, look, this is the amount of money that dad left us, we are going to work on this, and then if the shevach will go to them, that only applies to gedolim uketanim, because the ketanim are mochlim, because they can't be marviach themselves. Meaning by gedolim, the gedolim might say, if there were only achim gedolim, the other achim gedolim might say, what do you mean you're going to do the work and you're going to make an investment and you're going to improve it? Let us do that. It's only by ketanim, says the Ritva, that they would say, look, we know we're kids, we can't, we don't know how to, so you want to go be mashpiach, you want to go be a businessman and make money off of it, so go ahead, why should we stand in your way? So anyway, hiniach banim gedolim uketanim hishpichu gedolim es hanechasim hishpichu le'emtsev. The gedolim improve the nechasim, that shavach is divided evenly between all the brothers. But im amru, if the gedolim say to the ketanim, and it's got to be in front of Edim, or they say it to the Beis Din, or they say it to the Tzibur, the Rashbam adds, Ru'u ma she'iniach abba, look at what our father has left us for Yerusha, and we are ready to divide the estate. But if we're not going to divide the estate, harei anu osin va'ochlim, we are going to invest, we are going to work on it, and therefore we intend to take the shavach for ourselves, hishpichu liatzman. Then they in fact get to keep the shavach. From the Rashbam, it sounds like that they only get the shavach from their own chelek, whatever they're a mashpiach in their own chelek. But if they're mashpiach the chelek that's shaykh to the other brothers, they don't get the shevach. So the Tosus has an issue with that. Tosus says it doesn't sound that way from the Gemara we're going to see in today's daf. We're going to see a Maisa that doesn't sound that way at all. So Tosus says that the Achim take the shevach from all of the Nichsei HaYerusha, not only from their chelek of the Yerusha, because the Ketanim are mochel to the Gedolim. The Ketanim know that they don't know how to be marv. So good, so let the Gedolim be Marviach, and they're perfectly fine with that. Says the Mishnah further, V'cheina Isha she'eshbichas anachasim. Similarly, if you have an Isha who was Yoresh and is Mashbiach the Nechasim, she doesn't get to keep it all for herself. Hishbicha le'emtza. It has to be divided with all of the other Yorshim. And then the Mishnah tells us what we're going to see is really a separate halacha. That if you have an Almana whose husband left a Yerusha that doesn't cover the Ksuba, and based in still hasn't paid her ksuba, im amra ru'u mashi niach li baili. If she says to the yisomim, look, this is what my husband left for me, hare ani osa ve'ocheles, I want to be mashbiach these nechasim and I want to be able to enjoy that shavach, hishpich liatzma. As long as she made that declaration in advance, she gets to keep the shavach of those nechasim. So says the Gemara, amra of chaviva bereder of Yosef bereder rava mishmeder rava lo shanu. This is only the idea that the Gedolim split the Shavach with everybody else. It's only if the Achim that are Mashpiach the Nechasim, it's through the Nechasim, meaning they hire workers from their father's estate in order to be Mashpiach their father's estate. The father has land, the father had Avadim, so they take the father's Avadim and they work the father's estate. But if the Nechasim are Mashpiach through the brothers' own investments, meaning they're the ones that spent money. They didn't spend the father's nechasim to invest in the property. They spent their own money out of pocket to be mashpiach the nechasim. Then ishpichu liatzman. Then you would not have to divide it amongst the other brothers. Because they're the ones that put in the investment. So ask Gemara, is that really true? Eini va'am Rabbi Chanina afil lo iniach lemaviyam. Ella Udaini, even if all the father left them was an Udaini, what does that mean? Says Rashbam, Bor Vikisuyo, a bor and its covering, the Sochronos Olahashko Sados Mimemav, and they would rent it out in order that people will be able to use the water to water their fields. So that's how, if you look at Tosos, though, Pierce Bekunches, Bor Vikisuyo, Ve'in Niril Rabinatam, Elamefarishu Kli Gavoa, Sha'omdom Lov Shomri Sados Ukramim, Liros Me Alav Lemerachel. That it's this large kli, it was like a guard booth or a lifeguard stand almost, where you would be tall off the ground, where you can see from great distances. Vigamu roi lishan alav, and sometimes you could sleep on it. Kedam in parak basad moed katan yashal gabe mito gabe salsal gabe udaini v'yesh ramishkos ben advuni kmo dvi lahach. But whatever this thing is, we say that has. Whatever they get from the schirus of this Udaini, whether it be a bar or whether it be a guard booth, they split that amongst all the brothers. Frak the Gemara of Udaini de Machmas Atzma, who the dealing with this bar or this guard booth is considered to be a Shevach Nechasim Machmas Atzman, because the brothers need to guard it and to make sure that the people who didn't pay for the schirus of it don't take from it illegally. So it does involve their own effort, and nevertheless, even though it involves their own effort, they still apparently have to split the schar. So how can you say that whenever the investment is made by the brothers themselves, they're going to for sure get to keep whatever shevach comes from it? Over here, there's an investment of time that the brothers themselves have to make, and yet we see that a shevach liyamza says no, shiny udaini dilin tirusa hu davida. No, udaini is different because the whole job that they have to do with the Yudaini is just to watch it. It doesn't involve any serious effort. It's just watching, making sure that people who didn't pay don't come and take. That even little children could do. You don't need gedolim to do that. So the ketanim, the brothers who are ketanim, could say, we could have done that. Meaning the whole reason that we assume the gedolim get to keep their own shevach is because the ketanim are ochel. Because the ketanim say, well, we don't know how to do business. We can't do any of this anyway. So you might as well get the shevach because we don't know. But something like this, the ketanim know how to do as well. So that the schar has to go le'emtza. If, however, the gedolim, the older brothers, said, look, this is what dad left us, we are going to make an investment, we are going to work on it, then they get to keep their own shevach. Rav Safra shevach avu azuzi. Rav Safra was left money by Yerusha by his father. Shaklinu avibu iska. He took that money and he went and he invested it. He did some business with it. Asu achi, his brothers came tavu bedina kame de Rava, and they were tovayim to a din Torah in front of Rava that they want to be able to split the profits that he made from his investment because the investment was made with Yerusha money. So Amalahu, Rava said to the brothers of Rav Safra, Rav Safra gavra rabahu. I don't know if you realize who your brother is. Your brother Rav Safra is an adam gadol lo shavik girse v'tarach lachrini. There's no way he would be mevatel Torah. He would leave his learning to be Tareach just so that other people could make money. You should have realized at the outset that if he was going to be Mevatel Torah, if he was going to leave the Beis Medrash in order to work, in order to invest the money, he was obviously doing it for himself, and that is the same as a normal person saying, Ru'umashi niachaba areani. Even though Rav Safra never actually said it, he never said beferish, look, this is what he niach abba harei ani osav ochel, but it's obvious, it's understood that he's going to be osav yochel because he is a Talmud Chacham. So the question then becomes, okay, so how do we apply that nowadays? And Mukhe Yosef writes that bizman hazeh, there is no one who's chashuv like Rav Safra, no one has a din of a Talmud Chacham. You have to always look in each place in Shas where there's a special din for a Talmud Chacham, you have to think about and the Rishonim discuss whether that din of a Talmud Chacham is whoever is considered the upper echelon of intellectual society or whatever, Talmud Chacham nowadays would also fit the bill, or no, we're talking about something that's objectively a Talmud Chacham, that nowadays we wouldn't have such a status anymore. So Nemuke Yosef says that nowadays, no such thing. It's like you have the Gemara at the end of Kiddushin, where one of the Gedolei Amoraim tells the other that even though there's a halacha, that two men are allowed to have yichud with one woman, not if they're prutzim, and we're considered to be prutzim, we're not considered to be tamidei chacham. So already in times of the Gemara, you see that perhaps it could have changed what the definition of a talmud chacham is. That's a machlokas rishonim, whether that should be taken seriously. Meaning, maybe he was just speaking b'derech anivus as a chumri yisera that we should be considered prutzim, or no, maybe that's the halacha that everybody's considered prutzim b'zman hazeh. So the Mukhe Yosef says over here that no one is osek in talmud Torah to that extent that they would be considered a talmud chacham for this din, and he says, you know, you find a similar thing by Chasun Patam or Kriyashma and Patam Mitzvila, that who's going to be the one that's going to be considered to normally have so much focus on his Kriyashma that when he's a Chasun Dafka, that's when he's Torah and he's not going to be able to be as focused as much. Beis Yosef, however, disagrees, and he says he doesn't think that that's correct at all, and therefore in Shulchan Aruch he paskins that one of the brothers takes the money and he makes schara with the money. If he's a Talmud Chacham Gadol who never leaves his Torah, he gets to keep the schar because he's tarasum naso, and he never would have left his Torah in order to make other people money. So the Sma says the fact that he doesn't leave his Torah, even Shah Achas, that's assuming he doesn't have any Asek to be marviach bo, because yafa Torah im derech eretz. But for other people, just to make extra money, that he wouldn't do. But if he needs just to make money to be able to live for the next week, so yafa Torah im derech eretz, that's considered a good thing. We wouldn't consider that a if he never ever leaves his Torah to be able to support himself. So anyway, so the Mishnah said further, Isha shishbichas anachasim hishbicha le'emtza, that a woman who's mashbiach le'nachasim, the shevach goes le'emtza, the shevach has to be split with the other yarshim. So the Gemara says, Isha b'nichsa yasmi ma'yavidita. Wait, the, with the other Yorshim. A woman is not a Yoresh of her husband. So what's she doing dealing with her husband's estate? Why is it that she's at all considered to be one of the people who would be making an investment in the husband's estate? Samar Rabbi Yirmiya be Isha Yoreshes. No, we're talking about a woman who is Yoresh. And the Rashbam gives several examples, four examples of how a woman could be a Yoresh. Either the husband said to his wife, you get Nechasim Ke'echad Min Abanim, you get a piece of the estate just like any of the sons do, or she happens to be the niece of her own husband and they don't have any children, so she yarshins as the brother, meaning her father was her husband's brother. So she's going to yarshin her brother's chelek of the estate, and her husband died, her father died, so she's going to yarshin those nechasim together with her husband's other brothers. Or a third possibility, we're not talking about a woman who's Yoresh her husband, she's Yoresh her father together with her other sisters. She doesn't have any brothers. Or her father didn't have any sons and he died, and when her father died, when her grandfather died, she yarshins her grandfather together with her uncles, together with her father's brothers. So those are four possible explanations of how it could be that a woman is a Yoresh. Now, on the idea that she is the husband's niece, and they don't have any children, and both her husband and her father die, and she yarshins the nechasim of her of their father with the other brothers, Tulsa says it doesn't sound that way from the Lashon of the Mishnah, because it says, Ru'u mashi niechli ba'ali, look what my husband has left me. Sounds like she's being Yoresh her husband, she's not being Yoresh his father. And the truth is, the other examples that the Rashbam gives also don't fit quite so well, where she's not, there are two other cases, that two out of the other four cases that the Rashbam gave also are not cases where she's Yoresh her husband, but she's Yoresh her father or her grandfather. So that's going to be difficult to actually fit into the words of the Mishnah. And therefore, Tosa says that we're talking about a woman who married her uncle, and her husband and her father died, and they don't have any sons, only Achim Ketanim, or Bnei Achim Ketanim, so she is Yoresh, her husband, together with those Achim Ketanim, because since her husband doesn't have Banim or Banos, his brothers will yarshin him, and since her father is one of the brothers, and he died, and he doesn't have any sons, she's going to be Yoresh B'makom, her father. That's how the Rivam explains, that's how Tosfos explains. So it says, well, but wait a second, if we're just talking about a woman who's a Yoresh, so the woman got her Yerusha. So Pshita, isn't the rest of the din obvious then? I mean, we already said, if one of many Yorshim goes and invests in the estate, so the Shevach goes Liamtza, unless they make a point in advance of saying, I'm ready to divide the estate, but to the extent that we're not going to, I'm going to make an investment, then they get to keep that investment. Why would the woman be any different? So the Gemara says, no, there's a reason we would assume that the woman would be different. One might think that since it's not the derech of an isha to be involved in business, to be tareach ben achasim, even though she didn't say Ru'u mashi niach li bali, that I'm going to be Yosef el chalas le'atzmi kemo de parish dami, it says if she did say, look, whatever I do, I'm doing it for myself, I'm not doing it split with everyone else, similar to the Talmud Chacham, so kamash milan, therefore it has to tell us that no, she doesn't have a din similar to the Talmud Chacham. If she wants to be able to keep her portion, she wants to be able to keep whatever her investment makes, she has to, the profits of her investment, she has to make that statement in advance. The Mishnah also said, "Amamra ru'uma she'niach li bali harenios osava ocheles hishpicha liatzma." So if she says, "Look what my husband left, and I'm going to be osava ocheles," she gets to keep whatever profits it turns up. So that din is not talking about an isha yereshes anymore. The Rashbam explains. Now we're talking about an almana whose husband left the Yerusha that doesn't cover the entire amount of her ksuba, and Beis Din has not yet paid her ksuba, so if she says to the Yisomim, I'm going to be Mashbiach, these Nechasim, so then she's able to keep these the profits. So says Mar Pshita, isn't that obvious that since she gets a chelik in the Nechasim, she's able to collect from it to make ksuba, so Mela, so long as they haven't paid her ksuba, she's like the Banim and all the other Yarshim that did not yet divide the Yerusha. So says Mar Namal de Tema, Kivin de Shvich La Milsa, de Amri Katarcha Kamiyasme, one might think that since it's considered to be very good for her reputation, that everyone is going to say, oh, look what she does to take care of those Yisomim, how she goes and she goes to work every day in order to make sure that that the estate gets improved so that the Yisomim will have more, so she enjoys that reputation. So you might think, Achulei Achla, that she's mochel that Shevach to give it to the Yisomim in exchange for that enhanced reputation. So Kamashman, therefore it tells us that while people may enjoy a good reputation, they enjoy money more. So she's going to enjoy the profits more than she'll enjoy the reputation. She's not mochel on the profits just because of the reputation. So the Gemara brings a din of where people are mochel nechasim in a different situation. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Hamesi isha lebno gadol bebayis kena'o. If a man marries off his son in a house, the assumption is the son is kona that house, because we assume the father is so overjoyed to be marrying off his son that he's actually makna edira to the son. He's actually being makna the house to the son. That is only, say, the Rashbam says, if he has another house to live in. But if this is the father's only house, it's hard to make the assumption that he's going to be makna, the only house that he has, to his son. That's how the Rashbam writes. The Drisha in Eben Ezra Siman and Tes points out that in Shulchan Aruch it leaves out this Tanai, that it has to be that he has another house to live in. Because the Rif, the Rambam, the Rush, none of them bring this Tanai, that he's got to have another house to live in. They all just assume you marry off your son in the house, so mazel tov, he gets to keep the house. So the Drisha writes that it has to be that even the Rishonim that don't mention it are maskim to this din. The reason they don't mention it is because it's included in what the Gemara is going to say soon, that if the father leaves any sort of object of his own, any sort of personal effect or personal item in the house, then we assume the deal is off. Then we assume he's keeping it for himself. So this is included in that. Obviously, if he has no other house to live in, he's leaving many personal objects, all of his personal effects in the house, so memela the deal is off. You don't need to say if he has no other house to live in that the son does not get the house. The Mabit writes that this is only by a father and a son, but if it's a mother who's marrying off her son, the son is not kona the bias, even if there's no father in the picture, it's just the mother. And the reason is this is a takana's chacham, and the takana was only in the case that was matzui, and it was most matzui, it was most common that a father would marry off the son, not that a mother would be the one to be making the wedding to marry off the son. So says Mar v'dafka gadol, this whole din also only applies when it's the ben hagadol, even if they're older daughters, but it's the oldest son. But if he's not the ben hagadol, we assume the simcha is not quite as great, because it's the fact that it's his oldest son it just brings a certain level of simcha. V'dafka besula, and also it has to be that he's marrying the boy off to a besula, not to an almana, it wouldn't work. The Shulchan Aruch leaves out this tonight that it has to be a besula. The Ramah quotes Yesh Omrim that she's got to be a besula. So Chalkas Mechokik says it's a Gemara Mufreshes. So what do you mean Yesh Omrim that it has to be a besula? It's a Gemara Mufreshes. It's like every other Tanai that we make. So it has to be a total sofer in the Shulchan Aruch, says the Chalkas Mechokek. It must be that there is some typo in the Shulchan Aruch. Obviously, this Tanai is just as binding as any of the other Tanai. V'davka ishto rishona, also it only works if it's his first wife. V'davka sheisir rishon, and also it has to be that this is the first of the children to get married. But if other children got married first, we don't assume the father's excitement is quite as great. So it says more, if a father set aside for the marriage, for the wedding, a house that has an aliyah on top of it, and they got married in the bayis, so bayis kana, the son owns the bayis, but aliyah lo kana, he doesn't own the second story on top of the house, that had nothing to do with the wedding, the father's only maknatim, the downstairs apartment. Bayis va'achsadro, Torah. What if there was a bayis and it had like a porch in front of it where people would go through that to get into the house? Mahu, do we assume that the son is kone the achsadra? Do we say that the achsadra is considered part of the house and it's part of the normal ishtamshus of the house? So if you're kone the bayis mimela, you're kone the achsadra? Or do we say that no, that they're different rooms, and as different rooms, you're only kone the room where the wedding was? And even if you say achsadra is mishamish the bayis, like a chelik of the bayis, the ben is kone the achsadra, what if you have shnei batim zelifnim mizeh? What if it's not a bayis for achsadra? It's two houses, one inside of the other, one more further into the property than the other. Mahu, do we assume that if he got married in the inner home, that he gets the outer home as well, or not? So that's the way some of the Rishonim, Mukhe Yosef, understands the question. That the whole suffix is, if the son got married in the Pnimi, do we assume that since the Chitzoni is used to get into the Pnimi, it's used as Ishtamshus of the Pnimi, that maybe you'd be kona that as well? But certainly, if he got married in the Chitzoni, then certainly you would not be kona the Pnimi. However, the Machna points out that from the Rambam in the sixth paragraph of Hilchos Chiyum Matana, Lechet Hasvav, it sounds like it doesn't make a difference. The Shaila is a Shaila, whichever one he got married in, whether it be the inner house, and the question is, does he now own the outer house as well, or whether it was the outer house, and the question is, does he now own the inner house as well? But either way, teku. The Gemara leaves all these shailas as a teku, and the Ritva says that whenever you have such a suffix in Dini Mamanis, and it's left as a teku, hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, that you cannot assume that the son is kona any more than the bare minimum, because he would have to bring a raya that he's entitled to anything more than that. So now the Gemara asks, meisve, yichidlo aviv bayis uklei bayis, klei bayis kana, bayis lo kana. If the father designates for the wedding a house and the kelim inside of it, so he's kona the kelim, but he's not kona the bayis. So don't you see your father is not makna the bayis automatically to the son when they get married? Now the case is that the father is not makna to the son when the father's stuff is still in the house. So if the father's stuff is still in the house, he's obviously not trying to give it to the son as a gift. Even if all he has is a dove coat, even that's all he left in the house that belongs to the father, even that is enough to assume that the father's not giving the house to the child. Rav Yudah Rav Papi Amri, afilu atzitza daharsina, even a kli that's full of small fish, small fried fish, he's that's all that's left in the house, even that is enough of an indication that he is not intending to give the house as a gift to the son. Marzutra ansve lebre, Marzutra married off his son in a house, Talale sandala, and he hung a shoe in the house in order that that he should still maintain his chazak on the house, and that the son shouldn't be the one to take the house. So all he had to do is just hang up one of his shoes and show, look, this is still mine. Rav Ashi nasve lebrei, Rav Ashi married off his son, Talale ashisha demishcha, and he was tola a kos full of oil. That's how the Rashbam understands it. The Ritva understands that it's an empty kos that you don't need it for that meal, and therefore it's like a heker. It's similar to like you have a heker in Hilchos Nido or in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, something that's obvious to that you're not using during that meal, that it's there for a reason. So it's there as some sort of reminder. So by Basar B'Chalav, it's there as a reminder not to eat off each other's plates, by Nido also. But by over here, it's a reminder that this is just, this is not being used for the Sudas Nisuin, and this is just my personal effect, the father says, this is my property, and therefore the house remains mine, because I'm using it for my own personal property. So the Gemara brings other dinim that also don't seem to really fit the dinim of Kinyanim. Like this halacha, that I marry off my son in my house, so all of a sudden the house becomes his. There was never shtar written, there was never, kesef shtar or chazaka, nal gadur parat, no sort of kinyan was done. All of a sudden it becomes his. It's not a usual halacha. So the Gemara is going to bring similar unusual halachos, things that you would not expect. There are three halachos that the Rabbanan made it like a hilchsa below taima, that have no logical reason. It's as if there's no reason for it. Chadaha. One of them is this din, that the son gets the house, and there's no reason that should be the case. There was no kinyan over here, there's no shtar matana, but since that's the derech b'nei adam, that's what people do, so mela, that's what we assume is happening. Idach, another halacha that's ilchus of low time, Adam Rav Yidam Shmuel, Hakosev kol nechas of the ishto. If a person gives a matana of all of his nechasim to his wife, and then the man dies, lo asa ela apetropa. We assume it is not a matana, she is just becoming an apetropa on the nechasim, but they do not belong to her, because the Chacham said there's no way that a person would uproot the entire Yerusha from his children and instead give it to his wife. So clearly all he intends to do is make her an apotropos to see to it that everything gets to where it's supposed to get and that each of the children are taken care of. So again, that's also hilchsa blotayma. Because it says in the shtar that it's a matana. So we're going to make up that it's not a matana? Yeah, we make up that it's not a matana. That's a hilchsa below taimen. Idach, the third case, third example is, da amar rav, mana li biyalcha, a guy says to his friend, the money that I gave you as a pikadon, that you owe me, don't give it back to me, rather, tineu leploni. Give it to so-and-so, b'mamat shloshen. And I say that in front of all three parties. The mafkid, the nifkad, the mekabel matana, we're all there together. Kana, the mekabel matana is able to be kona with that, and the nifkad has to give the money, even though there was no kinyan made, to that mekabel matana. The mafkid cannot say, the nifkad cannot say to the mafkid, no, I'm only going to give it to you, you're the one I got it from. No, the takanas chacham, that since it was, this is a fairly common thing, that a person has balichavos, a person owes some money and his own money, so he wants to streamline the process sometimes, so he cuts the middleman out. Instead of giving it back to me, give it to them. That's normal standard business practice. Therefore, this became a hilchsa b'lotayma. It became an accepted halacha. If you look at the bottom, at the second bottom, tells us hilchsa b'lotayma. He says k'tzas tam yesh. You know, there is. It's not like it's. There's no reason whatsoever for any of these halachas. There is some tam to keep in shapina. Meaning, let's say, take our halacha with the bayis, that if the father cleared out all of his worldly possessions from the house, so the son is logically, you know, likely to think, okay, dad's clearing it out for me so that I can move in, especially if the son has nowhere else to live. Svaruhu shenasalo. So it makes sense that he's giving it to him. And that also makes sense when a person gives all of his nechasim to his wife. Why would he do that? Why would he keep everything away from his children? He obviously was just trying to be mechabed his wife. And by a maimed shloshen, why should you have to look for edim every single time you want to make a minor kinyan? Meaning, what Tosus is just trying to show is hilchsa b'lotayma should not be taken literally. Meaning, it's not that there's no rhyme or reason whatsoever, and that none of this makes sense. It means that it just doesn't follow the normal dinim of kinyanim. But it is. There is a tam, and there is a reason for all of these halachas. Okay, new Mishnah. Ha'achna shutfin, brothers who are shutfim in the Yerusha, shenafal lachem el umnus. One of them gets to, the Rosh Rav explains, work for the king as a tax collector. So that's a very profitable job that he's going to have. And there was some sort of rotation. And it came to his turn. He gets to work as the tax collector. So who gets all that money? Nafala emtsa. All of that money is divided by all of the brothers. Chalav in Nisrape, let's say he has luck in the other direction, that he gets ill and it takes some time for him to have a refuah, and it costs some money for him to have a refuah, Nisrape Mishalatzmo. He has to pay his own medical bills. The estate does not pay for that for those medical bills. Tana, Hai Umnus, Lumnus HaMelech. The Umnus that we're talking about, the Gemara explains, is Avodas HaMelech, like collecting taxes, that since the Melech hired him on account of his father, that's why he has to divide it with his brothers. That's how the Rashbam explains. That's what we're assuming over here. The Rashba points out that the Melech would dafka hire Ashirim in order that he'll be able to take from them whatever he needs. So if this brother was hired because of the estate, he's an Ashir now because of this massive estate, but the estate is owned by all the brothers, so they get a chelik of that of his profits as well, because that's why he was hired. He was hired as part of that larger estate. So that's what we assume. That's why it makes sense that he has to split it. Tan Rabbanan, Echad Menachem Sheminu Gabai, if one of the brothers is appointed to a position of Gabai meaning the one who collects the taxes for the king, Pulmustus, or he's appointed as some sort of officer. This machlok is Rishon, what exactly Pulmuslus means. Rosh Bam quotes Rabbeinu Chananel says Pulmuslus means a lochei milchamos, a warrior. In Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that there are some girsos that say kulmuslus, which means a sofer. So whatever it was, he gets appointed in some position. If that minui was as a result of the brothers, la'achin, then whatever profits he makes is going to have to be split with the brothers. But in machmas hatzmo, if it's because of his own chashivus or his own charifus, his own brilliance, his own qualifications, then la'atzmo, then he gets to keep it for himself because it's got nothing to do with the brothers. In machmas achin li'achin pshita. Well, isn't that obvious that if he was only appointed because of his brothers, that it's going to have to be split with the brothers? Lo tzricha d'charif tfei. Now the Bryce is telling us, even in a case where he happens to be smarter than his other brothers, so you might say that it was his own brilliance, even though they didn't tell him that they're hiring him for his own brilliance, but mistama, that's why they chose him. So kamash milan. Therefore the Bryce tells us, no, kolzman that they don't tell him beferish that we're hiring you because you are brilliant or because you are uniquely qualified, so long as they don't tell him that, we assume that they hired him machmas habayis, because of all of them together, and therefore he has to split with the other brothers. Tana Rabbanan, echad min ha'achin shenatan asayim zuz l'mul Torah. Let's say one of the brothers takes from the Yerusha of the father, he takes 200 zuz to go learn Torah, oh lil marumnus, or to go to to college or something, to go and get a profession. Yecholina ach nomerlo imata etzleinu yesh lecha mezonos. The other brothers could tell him, look, if you stay with us and you work with us, so then you get mezonos. Meaning, if the revach of whatever umnus you're going to do is going to be split with all of us, so great, we'll give you mezonos with all of us because it's an investment for all of us. But it may not tell Atzleinu. If you're just going to make your own money to go, to pursue your own career, and whatever money you make in that career is just going to be for you, ein lecha mezonos. Sorry, you're not going to get supported by all of us. We're not supporting you through medical school for the next 12 years so that you can become make money on your own. So velis vele kalecha di isay. So the Gemara says, why can't they just give him wherever he is? What difference does it make if he's physically in the house or he's not physically in the house? So this is a riot Ravuna, da amar Ravuna, birkas habayis beruba, that a house is blessed when there are more people in it. So if he would live with them in the house, we assume that the house would be more blessed because of his presence, and therefore they could say, you're costing us by moving out, and therefore we're not going to allow you to be supported by the estate. So why don't they at least have to make an account of how much they're losing on account of his absence and at least pay him the rest, meaning they're certainly not losing that much on account of his absence. So Achinami says, yeah, that's what it means. They don't take away all of his mezonos, they take away the amount of mezonos that they're losing on account of his leaving. So Chalav in Nisrapi Mishalatzon. The Mishnah said that if he pays for his medical bills, so he has to pay for that out of pocket. Shalach Rav Mishmed Rabbi La'a. So Ravin sent the name Rabbi La'a, Lo Shanu Ella Shechal B'Pshia, Aval Ba'onis Nisrapim in Emtsa. That's only if he got sick as a result of his negligence. But if he got sick Ba'onis, it wasn't his fault, then they all have to pay for the refuah. Heichi Dami B'Pshia. How does one get sick with negligence? Kid Rabbi Chanina. So that we know very well, like Rabbi Chanina taught. Dami Rabbi Chanina, Hakol Bidei Shemaim. Everything that happens to a person is Bidei Shemaim, Chutz Mitzinim Pachim. Except for illnesses that come about because of cold. That's not a gzeirah min hashamayim. That's something a person is expected to protect himself from. If it was a gzeirah min hashamayim, then a shomer nafsho would not be able to be marchik mehem. There's no avoiding a gzeirah min hashamayim. But any illness that comes about as a result of cold is something that someone who's careful enough could be marchik from them. If you look at Tosos, Pirish Aryeh Veganvi Abayim, meaning if a person is attacked by wild beasts, there's no avoiding that. There's no, if only I would have done this, would have done that.
No, that's clearly a gzeirah min hashamayim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu would have caused that to happen one way or another. Aval sinim pachem yizel lo nigzor alav. Kolomer yachol lishmer. Sinim pachem, you can protect yourself from it. Aval vadeh im rotzeh la'abir atzmo be'esh o benar, yachol la'abir atzmo afal pish lo nigzor klum. Says Tosfos, unbelievable. If a person wants to commit suicide, he can commit suicide even if God had not decreed death upon himself. You might think that's what all failed suicides are, when God had not decreed death upon this person, and he's just trying to take his own life. You can't do it against the will of God. Says Tosos, yes, you can. A person is able to commit suicide even if it's not a gzeira min hashamayim. He says, I know you're more familiar with another Maimar Chazal, that everything's bidei shamayim chutz mi yir hashamayim. No, he says, that's a different context. That's talking about a person's personal character, his personal physical and emotional traits. That's HaKol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi Yir HaShemayim. Over here we're talking about what happens to a person. That what happens to a person is always B'Dei Shemayim, except for Tzinim U'Pachim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from the Mishnah halfway down the page and try to catch up. Sure.